910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's the opening bell on Wall Street, where another sell-off's expected. Dow futures were down more than 3%. The tech-focused NASDAQ 100 futures shed 6%. ABC's Derek Dennis has more on some reasons why.
Some reasons for the sell-off. Over the weekend, Goldman Sachs economists increased their risk of a U.S. recession to 25% in the next 12 months, while some analysts say the Fed has been too slow to cut interest rates, putting off a potential rate cut to its next meeting in September.
Hurricane Debbie made landfall in Florida's Big Bend. The wind is weakening, but the rain and flooding are the primary concerns in Florida, along with Georgia and South Carolina. President Biden convening his national security team today amid fears of a larger war in the Middle East. Iran's vowing retaliation after the killing of a Hamas leader in Iran. And Vice President Kamala Harris will be there. She spent the weekend meeting with possible running mates. The two will debut at a rally tomorrow in Philadelphia. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The lawyer for Devante Mitchell's family says an autopsy shows he died at the hands of four hotel employees in downtown Milwaukee June 30th. Police recommend felony murder charges, but prosecutors have said they needed the autopsy results first. The fate of billions of dollars from Washington to Wisconsin are at stake as voters decide whether to amend the state constitution on the 13th. Jason Stein is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum.
It touches every aspect of our lives, from our roads to our social services to education. And this would have far-reaching and far-lasting effects.
Stein spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront. A no vote would keep the power over spending federal money in Wisconsin with the governor. A yes vote would give that power to the legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. FEMA housing inspectors arrived in St. Louis County over the weekend to begin assessing the needs of area residents following the extensive floods earlier this year. According to county officials, the flooding over the month of June qualified as a presidentially declared disaster, meaning county residents will have access to federal assistance for things like temporary housing, repairs, and loans to cover uninsured property loss. Residents can still be added to the list for FEMA inspections at disasterassistance.gov. Plans for a new youth recreational center in Duluth are in the works. According to a Northern News Now report, Mayor Roger Reinert and Duluth Public Schools Superintendent John Magus discussed the plans for the 30,000-square-foot rec center this week. The plans have been in development since 2014, and the current design would include a double gymnasium and space for other recreational activities like art. It would be located in Memorial Park if the city can begin construction as planned in the next couple of years. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers lose in Washington.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Nationals jumped out to a 4-0 lead. Milwaukee scored 3 in the 8th, and that was it. The Brewers lose to the Nationals 4-3 on Sunday. Manager Pat Murphy questioned on whether he pulled starter Tobias Myers too soon after just 64 pitches, replaced by Holby Milner, who gave up 3 runs.
I thought we pitched okay. Tobias was not his best, but he was good. And we had a full bullpen, and Hobie has been unbelievable for us, and he had some unfortunate luck. I thought everybody else pitched really well.
NFL, the Packers have signed another place kicker. Jonathan Garibay played in the UFL last season, only missing one kick. 2 years ago, he kicked a game-winning field goal for the Dallas Cowboys from 62 yards away. The Badgers held a live tackling session in camp over the weekend.
You guys have to be able to see if they can make some plays. So we challenged ourselves today a little bit going live. I mean, there's probably 75 snaps of live ball today.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. Practices continue this week at the UW-Platteville campus. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with rain likely today. We'll get to 71 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, rain will end. We'll drop to 49. Tomorrow, sunshine 77 on Wednesday. Partly cloudy with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Mm-hmm. Matt Nair on Air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend. Has Kamala Harris picked her VP? Or is it still to come? Find out Monday.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Luke, man, I just want to say, and we'll go to the phone lines in a moment. The nation is $31 trillion in debt. And so if people could even fathom what that looks like and what that is, and if there is a way to get out of $31 trillion in debt, I don't think most of the American people can even envision, you know, where we are as a nation. And so the future looks very bleak when you owe $31 trillion and your GDP is swallowed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we got some economists now saying, like, is the national debt, like, that bad? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not an economist myself.
You don't have to be an economist to know that if you owe $31 trillion, let me kind of put it in perspective. In the 1970s, that debt was somewhere around early 1970s, that debt was $3 trillion. And now it's $31 trillion. And at the same time, that debt is owed to somebody. And our nation has to pay that debt. The nation will soon become insolvent if the debt is not paid and if we don't have people who are paying their fair share in taxes to help pay off the debt. If people are making minimum wage jobs, minimum wage in the state of Wisconsin is still $7.25 an hour. And there are many adults, you know, Luke, that are working jobs paying $12, $13 an hour. I mean, they're working, right?
Yeah. But it's, I'm sorry.
No,
taxing those folks at a higher rate.
I know you can't do it.
That's not going to pay off the $31
trillion. The point I'm making
is, it's not coming from them.
No, it's got to come from the people who are getting away without paying their taxes.
Right, which is why you always see these wild stories of late, or I at least find them wild. I don't know about other people. But when you see here in Wisconsin, you get Democratic Governor Tony Evers comes in and he starts using the Department of Administration and making sure that everybody's like, we've got a record surplus here in the state of Wisconsin, because Evers was just saying, like, hey, let's make sure all the taxes are paid, which begs the question, during the 8 years of the Walker administration, why was somebody asleep at the wheel over the Department of Administration or the Department of Revenue, wherever they needed to be, keeping on top of those things to make sure, like, the surplus was just, it shocked state officials even, because they were like, where's all this money coming from? And it was because taxes just started being paid. We now see that the IRS, now that it has more resources, all of a sudden, billions of dollars being collected because you have millionaires that were not paying their fair share. So
billionaires as well.
Yeah. All of them.
Yeah.
And so it's surprising that you could see these stories and that it's not a bigger deal when you see these stories. When folks that are supposed to be paying their share for however many years weren't.
So let me respond to Tom, who says, lately I feel like Earl is becoming a right winger lately, who calls the debt through tax cuts for billionaires. So just to clear the air for you, Tom, and others. You know, I'm a person who constantly talks about, you know, who's on the side of not paying their fair share of taxes. Okay? And so I'm not a right winger, nor have I ever been. But I'm going to talk about what is right for everybody. So the people who support, unfortunately, tax cuts for the wealthy, those happen to be people on the right. That's factual. That's not made up. But I can come in here every day and talk about, you know, what is behind all of this. But I also know that the 34 years I spent in a union, there were people who pushed back against, you know, those of us who were in unions, who were Democrats as well, as there are today. Because as Al said earlier in this show, there are people who, you know, just don't know the facts or know the truth. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. How you doing? Thank you for the call.
Good morning. Well, great show, and it's wonderful to hear Luke's voice. I grew up in a family of union workers, and you know, 69 going on 70 soon. You know,
You're a young whippersnapper. 69.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You're only as old as you feel, and I sometimes feel like a youngster. Come on. Come on. So, my sister and I used to sit when we had one car, and my mom would go to get my dad at picket duty. And I remember watching all the people picketing, and he worked at, it was United Rubber Workers
yes.
at the time, and, you know, then it went to Uniroyal. You know, and I remember those days, you know, where they were on strike a lot, where people, they didn't have a union dues a thing where you got money. You had to find other jobs in between. And you know, and I see my dad, and I hear of the things that the unions did for the people, and it also hugely is with health and safety issues. Those people worked in 90-degree weather and still did till the time they closed with the smells of, you know, all of the things that
right.
go into tires and benzene and all the different chemicals.
Poisonous also, chemicals, cancer-causing chemicals.
Yes. Yeah, and the unions, you know, they're the ones that had to fight. You know, my dad got his ears hurt by a big bang, and he had excruciating pain in his ears, never had anything like that before. He had to go to the doctor. They gave him one pair of hearing aids, and in order to get hearing protectors,
right.
they didn't have them back then.
No.
And so then he'd have to go to the doctor every time he wanted to get a pair. They didn't have them for the workers. They didn't have them available anywhere. And also, my dad also, when he was on strike, they were laid off because they were laid off a lot of times. He went and worked in construction, and they didn't have the safety belts that they have now. And
no.
The guy next to him fell off, and was taken, you know, to the hospital, and my dad had to go up and take his place right for the place that he fell down. Yeah, I mean, there are so many things that unions do that people don't even realize, and there's so many things that workers do that they put their body to work every day and their health to work every day, and that's just a...
Well, so Jeannie, OSHA didn't come into existence until the early 1970s. And so Occupational Safety and Health Act didn't come into existence. And so the plant that I worked in used to be called a butcher shop. I never will forget it. When I walked in there at 18 years old, there were men missing fingers, hands, arms, legs. They were deaf. They couldn't hear because there were no such laws to protect their hearing or safety glasses. They were blind. I mean, that's the reality of what occurred before unions. I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Cassandra. Good morning, Chief Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be rather quick. I don't know if you are watching the stock market. On Friday, the stock market lost $3 trillion. And there was barely any news coverage. Where I heard about it or where I was getting most of my information were from the foreign media. Now, if you have the news on, right now the stock market, it is down roughly 1,000 points. And they have begun to halt trading. There are people who are trying to access some of their accounts. They can't get into their accounts. The South Korean stock market has halted trading. Japan, their stock market, it declined by 13%. And so this relates to your union topic here. I recall during the Great Recession of 2008, many of those companies, they required many of their union workers to reduce benefits. And this is what's going to happen again as a result. So just everyone keep up with the stock market.
So Cassandra, let me say this to you. It is a global sell-off. And you're a bright woman. You've heard of corrections, right? So the stock market can't go on ad infinitum with these record profits that they've been getting. For heaven's sakes, how long ago was Barack Obama in office? What, 8, 12, how many?
8 years ago. 12 years ago. He got elected the last time in 12.
Okay, so, and when he first came into office, Cassandra, the Dow Jones was at 6,800. For heaven's sakes, it's at 40,000. And so at some point in time, the correction's going to take place. And yes, we are headed towards recession. Actually, we're headed towards global recession. Are people going to suffer because of it? Yes, it's going to be painful. Is it going to impact the outcome of the election? I'm afraid that it will. But those people who have stocks and who own that kind of wealth, they can afford it. They've waxed rich over the last 8 to 12 years. And, you know, I can't cry crocodile tears for people, you know, who have made the kind of money that these people have made. The average person is who I'm fighting for and talking about. Thank you very much for the call. Hang on, guys. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Cassandra brought up the fact that right now there are, you know, certain benchmarks and stock index across the globe that are plummeting. And so it really has a lot to do with world markets tremble over fears that the U.S. has been too slow to cut interest rates. Now, there, you know, there have been folk waxing rich and making just outlandish sums of money in the stock market. You know, I don't know a whole lot of people who have been, engaged in making all that money. Certainly not the average Joe who doesn't own stocks. You know, they may own some via the company that they work in or work for. And, you know, that's where their pensions, if they're fortunate enough to have a pension, have been, but the average person, this doesn't include them. A report Friday showing hiring by U.S. employers slowed last month by much more than expected has convulsed financial markets, vanquishing the euphoria that had taken the Nikkei 225 to all-time highs of over 42,000 in recent weeks. I said 42,000. It's called a correction, and it has happened historically in this nation. Let's go to, and globally, the correction is coming, and with the correction will be recession. We just have to hope that it's not depression. Let's go to Dave from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what? Dave.
I called originally to report about the stock market crashing across the world, but you stole my thunder. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is you were using the previous number regarding our national debt. Within the last 2 days, they've been reporting that the federal government's national debt is now $35 trillion.
Okay.
And previously, I had read articles about actually what that means. We are borrowing. When I say we, I mean our government.
You're right.
Is borrowing to run the function of the government. Plus, it is now borrowing $1 trillion a year just to pay the interest. So not only are we not taking in enough to pay our expenses, we're also borrowing to pay the interest. Now, what if you did that on your mortgage on your house? How long would you last?
Well, you know, Dave, what we're headed towards is insolvency. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to believe that it can happen, but borrowing some really insightful realities, like making the rich pay their fair share, the nation is headed towards insolvency. And at the same time that we're ramping up, go ahead, Dave.
It's not just our government. It's our whole culture. We have record amounts, probably, I think it's over $1 trillion of student debt. Credit card debt is at record levels. Corporate debt, record levels. Everywhere you look, mortgage, rates, record levels. So the way I look at it, all of this prosperity that we see around us is an illusion. It's all borrowed money. And at some point, we're going to have to pay that debt.
Hey, Dave, you're right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go back to Cassandra. Cassandra, quickly, you wanted to respond.
Earl, thanks for taking my call again. I just wanted to state, someone who is an elder, to those of you who are younger and who may be investing or who have parents with their pensions in the stock market, and that is to practice your due diligence. During the 2008 Great Recession, a lot of seniors lost their nest egg, and I would hate to see that repeated over again with those of you who are retired. So just pay attention and find someone who can give you some reliable financial advice. That's all I have to say. Thanks again for letting me.
Yeah. Answer. Well, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Karina. Good morning to you, Karina. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. It's a devil's. I think it's a double standard in terms of taxes, because American people and government are just fine to take Russians' oligarchs' money, what are in the federal fund in America, and give it to Ukraine, but yet you can't take your own oligarchs' money and pay the debt of your own country. Go figure.
Hey, Karina, who can argue with the statement you just made? I mean,
it's normal, right? You're thinking there, and it's normal for you to say, hey, Russians are bad. Let's take their money and give it to good Ukraine. But you're still taking somebody else's money, and you're manipulating somebody else's money. You have a huge debt. You have a CEOs and the billionaires, like you said in the beginning of the program, look, the rich people of this country built liberally, metropolitan museums, created legacy. What does the Elon Musk does? Put his behind in the space? Who needs him in the space?
Karina, your point is so valid. The Republicans and Donald Trump, you ask what his policies are going to be. He's talking about tax cuts again. We're talking right. $35 trillion in debt, eating up the GDP of this nation. There is no miracle that's going to change that other than raising revenue. And the only way you can raise that revenue, you can't raise it on the average citizen. We're struggling. It is those with the wealth who have not paid their fair share, continue to not pay their fair share, and yet the American people, I'm sorry, for the most part, don't understand that. There are average Americans who say you shouldn't tax the wealthy. You shouldn't tax the corporations. If those people would pay their fair share, we would reduce that debt tremendously, and maybe we would have a bright future for our children. But based on the politics that exist today, not so. Guys, hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has started its first home energy rebates program. Wisconsin is also the first state in the nation to launch the program's home efficiency portion. The measures will save American households up to $1 billion in energy costs each year, as well as boost construction and manufacturing jobs. Violent crime trends are going down in Milwaukee. The same is true nationwide. Advocates say the trends are encouraging, but the data is limited.
Homicide is influenced by a lot of local factors. In fact, we know that most violence can be isolated to specific neighborhoods within a city, so that it's essential for leaders to take time to analyze and fully understand local crime patterns while having a view towards more national trends.
Ernesto Lopez is with the Council on Criminal Justice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A formerly empty downtown Hayward parking lot has been transformed into a hub for community gathering. According to a Northern News Now report, the parking lot on the corner of Kansas Avenue and West 3rd Street is now filled with vendors, food trucks, and even live music after its purchase by a local business owner. The former parking lot is now known as The Lot, and owner Ariana Johnson says she's hoping it will give new local businesses a place to get on their feet and serve as a relaxed spot for the community to gather. The Lake Superior Zoo has a couple of new additions that may look like average household pets, but are really some of the most effective hunters in the world. According to a Northern News Now report, the Lake Superior Zoo took in two male sand cats on Thursday, a species native to the Sahara Desert, Arabian Peninsula, and Central Asia. Visitors can see the new cats at the Griggs Learning Center. The desert cats primarily eat small rodents and even venomous snakes, and they can survive for weeks without drinking water. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People worldwide are watching more color television than ever. Netflix, for the first time ever, reported that all 10 of their top shows pulled in over 1 billion minutes viewed. Variety reports that during the week of July 1st, streaming platforms recorded over 313 billion viewing minutes over various platforms. That is the most streaming consumption ever for a single week. The Nielsen Company started its top 10 list in 2020. Fans of Britney Spears have a new biopic to look forward to. People magazine reports the film will be based on her 2023 memoir called The Woman in Me. You remember that book that came out where Spears looks surprised that she's topless on the cover? That's sneaky photog. The film will be produced by Mark Platt, who also produced La La Land. Variety reported that Universal won the rights to the film project and has access to Spears' entire music catalog. Hopefully, they won't use it in the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with rain likely today. We'll get to 71 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, rain will end. We'll drop to 49. Tomorrow, sunshine 77 on Wednesday. Partly cloudy with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Christina Lori has some stories about Wisconsin athletes competing in Paris. And Sherita Booker reviews last week's popular social media posts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
Mm-hmm.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Calvin, it doesn't appear that I'm going to be able to change subjects at all today, because this clearly is a subject and an issue that is as serious and important as any issue that we are dealing with in this nation. And it's, you know, it's just not talked about enough.
Calvin can't come to the phone right now, but Luke's more than happy to join you.
Hey, man. Freudian slip.
It's all good.
You know, man, it's...
You've struck a nerve this morning.
Well, I will say this. You don't have to be, you know, an economist.
I'm not.
To know that if you keep paying out more than you're taking in, you're going to eventually become insolvent.
But can I add a little bit?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there a good amount for the national debt? Like, what's the ideal number, Earl, do you think?
Well, there is no ideal number. I guess
should it be zero, though?
Well, no, it's never been.
Bill Clinton passed a balanced budget, and it was pretty close to zero, wasn't it, in the 90s?
Yeah, that was a balanced budget, but that didn't mean we didn't have debt. So the balanced budget and debt are two different things.
Right.
You're just not adding to the debt when you have a balanced budget. So I will say this, man. It's as serious an issue as anything that the nation is faced with, especially for your generation.
But
it's not, we're not going to become insolvent in my generation's time.
But I got to say, there's got to be, like, we as the global superpower, whether you like that or not, that's what we are. The U.S. dollar is one of the strongest currency, like internationally.
Yeah.
And you don't get that from not having some of this aspect, but also, like, some debt's good debt. Like, it's good to say, hey, we're going to spend this money and we're going to build better roads. We're going to build better schools. We're going to build better, because in the long run, like, it's a good thing to buy a mortgage, right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to be a homeowner. That's debt that you take on as an individual. The national debt should be going towards things to make sure that our country is going in the right direction.
Luke, you're brilliant, man, because, yes, the debt that President Biden took on with the Build Back Better plan.
And he did some deficit reduction this year.
It's the right way to go, because our infrastructure had been falling apart. It wasn't going to collapse in my generation's lifetime.
I don't know. We've seen some bridges go down. You're still alive.
Yeah, but I'm saying long term, by the time you get to be my age and your children, this was going to have to be corrected. So that investment was absolutely necessary. What has created the heart and soul of the debt is the fact that we continue to spend almost, you know, what? Almost $1 trillion on military.
Oh, I think the DOD's budget's much higher than that.
Well, I mean, it's close to $1 trillion. And so, again, we're the fourth. We only have 4% of the entire nation, world.
Global population.
Is American.
Yes.
So somebody should ask the question, why are we spending that much money on defense? We can't afford it anymore.
Yeah.
But yet there are people who will say, well, we ought to stop paying out Social Security and Medicare. Yeah, just absolutely ridiculous. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike.
Thanks, Earl. Happy Motown Monday to you and yours. Thanks. Appreciate you. Hey, you know, real quick on the debt, don't everybody get all concerned about all this. Japan had over 2 times their GDP in national debt, and they weathered through it just fine. There's all kinds of things Congress can do, including printing our own coin, our own money out of the American bank, not the Federal Reserve.
Let me ask you, and I'll go back to you. So printing money without any goal or anything to prop it up or to back it up, devalues the dollar.
Sure.
You can print all the money you want to print.
Fiat money.
Huh?
Fiat money making money print out of air.
Right.
Air is basically the standard of the world.
Right.
But again, we can govern that and harness that just like Japan did.
Right.
I got to tell you, I couldn't agree more. We seem to have, since we blew all disposable money, now the powers that be, that's not enough. They want to get their hands in your pocket for every dollar you don't
have. Right.
There's interest-free loans for 5 years. There's just all kinds of bait and switch stuff going on the consumer level. there used to be a thing called predatory lending.
It still exists. What do you mean used to? It still exists.
Yeah, but you don't see much of it anymore. It's not,
it's there. For the average person, Mike, the person who struggles economically, predatory loans are the rule, not the exception. Go ahead.
Sure. And that's why we have these payday loan groups everywhere.
Right.
Charging just amazing interest because there is a market, unfortunately, for it. But getting back to the point real quick, the Federal Reserve, there's nothing federal about it. It is a private standalone corporation. And when you look at who's who behind it, you'll find that they're basically the European bank groups. So I would think if we're going to take a good look at American currency, I would start to maybe think about pivoting away from the Federal Reserve, which is a private standalone corporation, to our own bank, the Bank of America notes, having our currencies backed by our country. I think that would be the first step. Secondly, is in the follow of the money principles. When you recognize that the Federal Reserve is indeed a for-profit corporation, you follow the money. And what you find is having 2 to 3 to 4, whatever the prime rate is, your hands in every single transaction in the largest economy on earth, here in America, boy, that's a lot of money. And where's the accounting? Where's the bookkeeping for the Federal Reserve in sharing with the we the peeps? I think our financial literacy or lack thereof, Earl, has gotten us into a lot of trouble. We've just been led around like a, you got to buy this, got to buy that. We got caught in the Jones Society, if you will, keeping up with the Joneses, no matter what. I mean, we're borrowing students, in some cases, 19, 20-year-olds, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That they'll never pay back.
So, again, we there's a redo here. There is an opportunity. And what most of us are trying to do is get this economy and enough of this trickery. Gotcha nonsense that we've been caught up in this trickle down, job creator nonsense era. No, we have to have different conversations in starting with our monetary policy. When the wars went on before, they had a war profit tax on the corporations that made money in war. What's wrong with that? There's ways to capture the treasury and restock the treasury, but we have to begin talking about it and being real about it. We can do it.
Mike, well said on all fronts. Federal Reserve came into existence in 1913. There was a time when there wasn't a Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve Act and what it did to this nation and the people who created it and the elected officials. This is why I talk about pile of tricksters who basically gave the future of our nation to a group of people who were not accountable to the people and the nation itself. clearly should have been criminal. And the fact that it's gone as on as long as it has and garnered the power that I don't think can ever be, you know, the genie can't be put back in the bottle. But people do need to be educated on what the Federal Reserve is and why it exists. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man?
Well, Earl, first off, everything is just politics, nothing personal. But I really am tired of the people that have been calling in lately, and I think they're plants because they use the word Democrat rather than Democratic. That's usually a really good signal because that's exactly what the senator from Wisconsin years ago said, to concentrate on the word rat. I can't even think of his name right now. But yeah, all of these policies, these tax cuts for the billionaire class, have actually been brought by Republicans. That's their only game in town that they have, is tax or not tax the billionaire class. Yes, there are some negative Democrats out there, but let's be real about the policies that are out there. FDR brought about the policies of unions. FDR brought about the policies of actually getting us out of a hole. Joe Biden has been doing the same thing. And you got people calling up and talking about things that if we have Project 2025 actually instilled, which is already on its way through the Supreme Court, we're done as a country, people. We're done as a democracy. All we have is billionaires and oligarchies and a king running this country. And when it comes to the debt and deficit, a lot of that does have to do with Social Security and Medicare and things that we actually have. Yes, there's too much money spent on military defense, but why are we not fighting every single day to get money out of politics? Because that's exactly what the problem is. You have the Lewis Powell Amendment back when Reagan was in office, and then you have Buckley versus Vallejo saying people are corporations are people and free speech is and what's called free speech. And then we have Citizens United, and we wonder, then we have to play in the stupid game of the money swamp, and then we have to play in the game of the lobbyists and all of this. So all I'm asking for is that when these people call in and say their BS that they're saying, like Dave, who's actually, he's a union guy and all this kind of stuff, I'm sorry, it's the Democrats that have saved the unions. And it's time that these people start getting fact-checked in real time rather than being like the mainstream media that never fact-checks anything.
Hey, Tom, sorry, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. But, you know, at Civic Media, the phone lines, our lines are open to everybody. And so unlike conservative talk radio that only allows, you know, Republicans or conservatives to speak, that's not what Civic Media is. That's not the purpose of Civic Media. Civic Media is looped to have open dialogue amongst people, right?
Yeah. I mean, your show, Earl, I think is very good on that, where you open up every day. The phone lines are open and you want to hear from everybody. And that's how a lot of shows across the network are. And I think it's important. We're talking to the entire state of Wisconsin and being able to have those dialogues, those conversations.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, and to me, and I know this with the owner of these airways, that's his belief, and that's the reason that he's invested in this, so we can have the dialogue. Where else are they having it? 844-967-2789 is the number. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well,
the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to our nation.
Vote for children.
Oh, yeah. That's what the world is today.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And the Temptations were right. The world is a ball of confusion. Let's go back to the phone lines and John from Boaz. Good morning to you, John. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. This is the greatest radio show ever. You probably are going to outdo the Devil's Advocate because they didn't have the president on, Earl. I'd like to say that we should not spend so much money in Israel to defend a big mess. We should not spend money and give airplanes to the Ukrainians either, because they've been fighting ever since Joe Stalin. Earl, what do you think?
You know, John, I would say that when you look at where our debt is, and our nation can no longer afford to be the police of the world. You know, we just cannot. And again, as Luke and I were talking about, we only make up 4% of the global population. It's insane to think that we can still do what we did in the 60s and the 50s. And that militarily, we can protect all of these other nations. It comes at an expense, a cost to the American people. And it's not fair, it's not right that the American people should have to shoulder that burden. You know, NATO, and, you know, as powerful an entity as it is, it relies on, again, Luke, 4% of the global population, we the American people, to shelter that economic burden. And so we can no longer afford to do that. And, Luke, I will say to you that we shouldn't do it at the expense of the future of our nation, right? Younger people who are not going to get a fair opportunity and a fair shot at this nation that my generation had, Luke. It's not fair. It's not right.
Yeah, but at the same time, if we these issues, these international issues, do not get addressed and the fighting is allowed to continue, it's going to be the nation's young people that are going to be the ones, if we so really hope this doesn't happen, but if there were a World War III, it's not the boomers, it's not Gen X, it's not even my generation of millennials that will be going to war.
It's always been young people.
It's always been the young people that go to wars. So it is to a degree. Like, I can understand not wanting to be the world's police, not wanting to be the only entity out there. But that's why we have things like NATO. That's why we have things like the UN, where you have to be able to have diplomatic and then alliances to be able to support freedom in places like Ukraine, in Taiwan, and there is. An extent where we can have this conversation. It's an important thing to talk about, but acting like if we just bury our heads in the sand and act like those international problems are not our problem, we've seen it in the past, and history has a tendency not to repeat itself, but to rhyme.
So Luke, international issues are all over this globe, and we can't address and we can't be the policemen of the entire world. And we pick and choose which of these entities that we're going to get involved in. And that's the politics of it. These things are all things that we should be talking about. They should be talked about where the American people can hear about it and that we know that these conversations are going on. Because after all, it is our children, it is our financial resources that are going to go into, these skirmishes that we are involved in. That's the reality of it all. And I will say this. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved in some things, but being the global policeman, We no longer can afford to do it economically. Again, we're $35 trillion in debt. Just put Brendan up. Go ahead, Brendan.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Earl, that I don't disagree with you. I thought Luke had a really good point. But we have to be words carry power. And as I was listening to you, I started having visions of Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of the other people. I think that's where Luke's point was very valid, that NATO's there. And you're right, we do carry a heavy part of the bill. But we're fighting Russia in Ukraine. So there are some points there to be had on both sides. But I would just be careful because they're going to have you on one side interviewing Biden, and they're going to have Marjorie Taylor Greene behind you in the background.
Let me qualify what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the United States doesn't have or play a role. We're the wealthiest nation on earth with the most military. But at the expense of the American people, I will push back on anybody. The American people are struggling economically. And our concern should be about the American people first. You know, we can say, okay, let the American people go through what they're going through now. We can't afford health care for the American people. You know, they're American people eating out of garbage cans, sleeping under bridges. And you're telling me that the American citizens come second. I'm not afraid that the Russians are coming. I'm not afraid that China is coming. They know what America has, and they're not coming. I wish I had more time. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the Kamala Pixar Vice President Edition. We'll introduce you to the candidate Devil's Advocates Radio.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.